philosophically? Are you a different person? Are you chill? Are you like, none of this really matters?
I think so.
Like, it's changed you?
I think so, but I don't know whether I attribute that directly to my death or to what I've been doing since, which is reading a lot about death and meditating and really sort of changing my approach to life and living, you know?
Do you have any plans for your second death?
Yeah, I think I plan
having, on... Having done it, anything you do differently next time?
My cardiologist told me that I will not die of a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
Because of the medications I'm on. Uh-huh. And statins for 99% of the population who need them are a miracle drug.
Yeah.
Not only in terms of cholesterol, but also in terms of strengthening and reinforcing your arteries. It really is a miracle drug in many respects. So there's drug therapies, but a degree of exercise, not too much excess weight, and a balanced perspective on life.
My math's no good. Going back to the question of like how many of you are out there, I don't want to be rude. Like what's those who were resuscitated, the undead, zombies, what do we call you?
Zombies is good. I like that. The undead is actually probably a bit more accurate.
Right. How many of you walk among us?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know. I know that there are tens of thousands of cardiac arrests a year in this country.
So if you like...
And a tiny percentage survive.
So you have to know how many people were discovered, and then of those, it's something like 4% or 5%.
Uh-huh. And the percentage of people who have my experience is infinitesimal. To walk with no ramifications, no...
Have you met one of your own kind in that way?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of us who, you know, sort of... don't feel any less traumatized, of course. You know, we feel...
For knowing each other.
And for living on without too many detriments as a result, you know.
Are you competitive with them as to who's come to more peace with things?
I did find that I was quite competitive at first with how dramatic the event was,
you know.
And I very often won because you throw in a dog, you know, and like everybody falls for it. I must also mention that Zola, the dog,
who's
like lovely.
Named for Emile Zola?
No, it was a compromise. I wanted to call her Gola because she looked like a coconut, and Gola is the Hindu word for coconut.
Oh.
But we settled on Zola because nobody would.
She shits on the rug, you could say, j'accuse!
Exactly. Very nice. I had Zola inducted, I guess it is, into the Purina Pet Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
So if you go online and search Zola Purina, you'll get the story.
It must be difficult to kind of get into an argument with your wife when she saved your life. Like, it's sort of a trump card.
It does. It does. There's a certain point at which you just have to say, okay, you win. You're right.
like every single time now. Like, you got nothing.
I am extremely grateful.
Yeah. This is a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate you having it with me.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been lots of fun.
That's your Canada Land. I hope you enjoyed it. You can email me about today's show at jesse@canadaland.com. Our senior producer is Bruce Thorson. Audio production and editing from Caleb Thompson. Today's episode was fact-checked by Julian Abraham. Our director of audio is Max Collins. I am our editor and publisher. Our theme music is by So-Called. Syndication is handled by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca. Hi there. You just heard Canada Land, the show where I'm typically joined by a different guest each week for a long feature interview. What you're going to hear next is Canada Land Shortcuts, a topical news show where I'm joined by a different co-host each week, and we talk about the media's coverage of various stories in the news right now. Wait for it. I'm Jesse Brown. Today we're talking about the news. We'll talk about Carney versus Polyev. It is on. And we'll be talking about this really cool guy who's going to be covering Canadian politics this fall.
I am not cool. I've never been cool. I never will be cool.
You know,
no matter how many restaurants I go to, I am not a cool guy.
Cool.
Totally fine with it.
Wait for that. My esteemed colleague, Noor, host of our politics show. Welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Canada's lawmakers are back in the Capitol as Mark Carney's first fall sitting of Parliament kicks off with an appeal for unity.
Prime Minister Mark Carney will face off for the first time against Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre during question period.
First came the laughs, then the heckling, and from both sides of the aisle, clear priorities for the weeks ahead.
Please forgive me for my late arrival to this session. I had some meetings with extremely important people in East Central Alberta, Mr. Speaker.
All right, Noor, school's back. You've been working on politics all summer, but the politicians have...
not been working all summer.
They claim they have, but no, yeah, Parliament is back.
It's crazy. Feels surreal.
So we're looking at a pretty historic session of Parliament, and I wanted to talk with you about what we're already seeing emerge in the press as the trends, the big issues that people are looking for, and what the mood is, what the tone is. And then I want to hear, like, just as somebody who's covering it directly, your own coverage, what you've got your eye on. But just doing a quick survey here, all eyes were on the first exchange between the two leaders. iPolitics, Carney, Poilievre face off in first question period together. CTV News, Mark Carney squares off against Pierre Poilievre. CBC, Carney, Poilievre grill one another on familiar issues. Let's hear this bout, this introductory first punches landed. What did it sound like?
I thank the Prime Minister for calling a prompt by-election. I wonder if one day he might regret that decision. But, you know, the Prime Minister mentioned how much it changed, and it's true. I look around this place, and when I left, there was a Liberal Prime Minister who was making excuses about breaking promises, running massive deficits, costs, crime, chaos. We're all out of control. And whereas today, we have a Liberal Prime Minister breaking promises, making excuses, running massive deficits with costs, crime, and chaos out of control.
And then Carney goes,
Mr. Speaker, I understand the minister, or the...
sure, oops, he's not a minister. Carney keeps getting it wrong.
Minister, promotion. I understand the leader of the opposition was busy. He missed the largest tax cut for 22 million Canadians. He missed the cut on the GST for new homes. He missed eliminating all federal barriers to trade. He missed...
I think that Carney missed an opportunity for a really good comeback there. He could have said, yeah, and I still see that you're an insufferable little just as you were last session, but maybe it was good for him not to start on that foot.
Pretty unparliamentary language, if I do say so myself.
Noor, did you sense a certain irony in that they're almost like pretending to take shots at each other?
The framing for this, like, the great battle between Pierre and Mark, it's happening, the day one. It was nothing like that. They, like, walked in, shook hands, got on the opposite side of the chamber. They're, like, exchanged pleasantries.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sure I speak for all parliamentarians in welcoming the member for Battle River, Crowfoot, back to the House of Commons.
And then they tried to have that, like, little back and forth, but it really came across as more playful than serious. Like, Mark Carney was laughing as he was responding at certain points.
Mr. Speaker,
don't break the record.
This government...
It felt sillier than, like, a beef between the two political leaders. I didn't get that sense.
I think that the media is misrepresenting that, and I also feel like those two guys misread the room. Not the room being Parliament, which I think that is what influenced them. They kind of, like, defaulted to just establishment. I'm a politician. You're a politician. Let's pat each other on the back, shake hands, and assume our positions, assume our roles, which I think completely misreads where the country is at. I think that Poilievre, even when he's kind of like with a bit of a more of a smile on his face, not with the same vitriol that he went after Trudeau, he's like, but I am going to kick you in the shins and say that you suck and basically are the same as you used to be. That is not the right tone. Unsolicited advice for Pierre Poilievre. The move right now is, we are in crisis, and I'm here to help you. If you want to steal my policy, as you've been doing, good. I'm going to help you by keeping you honest. I'm going to help you by giving you good opposition and good challenges. But ultimately, I want you to succeed because this country needs success right now. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, I'm here to give Canadians a better option.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to see this guy pricking away at Carney right now. And Carney... ha, low stakes. Oh, the opposition guy doesn't see how great I am.
He may notice a few things have changed since he was here last. The largest women's caucus in Canadian history.
Nobody wants to hear how great you are right now because the jury is out. We are still waiting to see some results from you. Like, these guys got it wrong on day one.
It's interesting how you're reading that. I don't know. Pierre Poilievre came off a lot more like prime ministerial in this rendition of Parliament. He wasn't very attack doggy. He came off a lot more serious than he used to. He let so many more of his own MPs do the... You liberals don't know what the f*** you're doing. Michelle Rempel-Garner being one of them.
He promised he'd create jobs, but Canadians are losing it. We're in a health care crisis and a housing crisis, but the Liberals still issued record numbers of TFW permits this summer. They continued to let the asylum system be abused, and they still haven't removed countless non-citizen criminals. Mr. Speaker, why does the immigration minister still have her job?
I think maybe the attack dog highlight of the week, at least for me, which came from Conservative MP Garnet Jenness, where he called Carney a temporary foreign worker.
During his time as a temporary foreign worker in the United Kingdom, the Prime Minister was famously called the unreliable boyfriend. 6 months into this relationship, Canadians are starting to see why. Canada, it turns out, he's just not that into you.
Garnet Jenness, Jesse, if you may remember, is the MP who screamed, "I wasn't thinking about sex," in the House of Commons.
That, of course, meetings don't take place in a bathtub. A luxurious bathtub has nothing to do with meetings. The Prime Minister's answer had nothing to do with the questions, but it had nothing to do with sex. I wasn't thinking about sex at all.
He's got those one-liners, that guy. So yeah, the attacks are heating up on Carney. He's getting it from all sides these days.
Millions of Canadians are worried about their jobs, yet Liberals are planning to slash services people rely on and eliminate family-sustaining jobs through an austerity budget this fall.
Surely, if he was such an expert, he would know the size of his own deficit. It's now halfway through the fiscal year. 6 months have gone by, and he has announced $40 billion of additional spending. Deficits drive up inflation, grocery prices, housing costs, and interest rates. They drive out investment from our country.
He's also in this kind of weird, sticky situation because he doesn't have a majority government. He now has to try to convince people from the Conservative side, from the NDP, from the Bloc, to kind of side with him at a time where they all don't really want to be associated with him. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. I do think that in general, it's just being like misrepresented. Like, here's Aaron Weary. Carney and Poilievre exchange pleasantries, then resume an epic debate.
No.
You know who got it right and who wrote really well, actually, is Shannon Proudfoot in the Globe and Mail. As the House of Commons returns, Carney and Poilievre are both chasing a lost political moment. Check this out. There aren't many parallels between Mr. Poilievre and his new political adversary, Mark Carney, but there is one big one. Each of them, not so long ago, enjoyed a moment of perfect political alchemy in which they seemed like the answer to every question that Canadians might have, and those moments are gone. Mr. Carney's political sweet spot arrived when Donald Trump started licking his chops and leering across the border, leaving Canadians in a rage panic. That is what happened. We were in a rage panic about sovereignty and economic destruction. And here was the former central bank governor who'd steered two different countries through emergency times, offering both drop-the-gloves pugnacity and calm, soothing plans to make it all okay. His party, the Liberals, who were overripe roadkill just a few months earlier, floated to the top of the polls solely on the strength of people's confidence in Mr. Carney, with the U.S. president's threats a constant air raid siren in the background. But moments, by definition, don't last. You can see both of these men now trying to recapture the glory days like some low-rent Springsteen song. So, like, yeah, like that's what ushered Carney into power. And St. Poilievre had his moment where everything seemed to be going his way, and he lost that. And they're both acting like they're still in that moment. they're not in that moment. Like, the battle for who's going to get the job is over, and now it's who's going to do the job.
It's been a while since we've had this kind of, like, true minority politics in the House of Commons, because Justin Trudeau enjoyed a majority for a little while, and then when he had a minority government, he was propped up by the NDP. They had a supply and confidence agreement, and he basically allowed him to enjoy the luxuries of having a majority without actually having a Liberal majority. So I think what we're seeing is a kind of return to minority politics.
That's interesting. I heard other commentators say that, like, when Carney won, though it's not technically a majority, it's an effective majority.
It's three seats.
Yeah, like, he'll always be able to pluck that away, but that's not necessarily the case. Neward, it also looks this week like Carney is parting ways, or cleaning house, maybe, of some familiar names from the Trudeau years. Chrystia Freeland is the big one. She is leaving cabinet to go save Ukraine, I guess. David Lemeny, formerly Justice Minister, then Principal Secretary, abruptly out of cabinet. There's also some buzz that Stephen Guilbeault, Jonathan Wilkinson, and Bill Blair will not be there much longer. If that's all true, it seems like it's like too many people leaving in quick succession for it just to be coincidence. I get the sense that Carney might be trying to get ahead of a conservative attack point that this is the same old, it's just the Trudeau cabinet with a different guy in Trudeau's place. And this moment where there is this like very strong mandate and support, it might not last. I think he wants to have his own people going forward.
And an extremely controversial budget coming in the next little while. I don't anticipate the Conservatives enjoying what will be on that budget. They've already complained that he's doubled the deficit.
Nor when the CBC gave us like their fall preview of politics, here's what to expect this fall. Darren Major wrote that, you know, basically it's presented as a Liberals' budget versus Pierre's return.
Mm.
Is that how you're looking at this as a politics journalist? What are you looking out for? What are you following closely? What is your team focused on?
Well, we're focused on these nation-building projects. There's been a lot of criticism from the conservative side that Mark Carney isn't moving fast enough. He just built an office and is, like, adding more bureaucracy.
It's really incredible. He was elected saying that we are in an unprecedented crisis and that we needed to move with unimaginable speed. So what has he done? What he's done today is announce that he's going to send an email to an office that isn't even fully staffed up yet, which will one day consider possibly approving five projects. This is pathetic.
But he is moving in a direction. You can criticize how fast he's moving, but things are rolling along when it comes to Bill C-5. So we're going to be paying attention to the nation-building projects. But there's also a ton of bills that have been proposed that haven't been enacted. Bill C-2, the kind of omnibus bill that includes the changes to the asylum-seeking process. There's also Bill C-3, which is about citizenship and kind of tries to fix the major over the lost Canadians and second generation Canadians. There's the C-4 bill. Like, there's a lot coming down the pipe, and there's a lot to be paying attention to. The budget is a big one, just because there's been so much anticipation and buildup to, like, when are we going to get a budget? When are we going to have a sense of how much the government is spending and where?
Well, it is finally official. The Liberal government will table the federal budget in early November, its first under the leadership of Prime Minister Mark Carney. During question period today, Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne said the budget will be introduced on November 4th. Now, by that date, it will have been almost 11 months since the government gave an economic update.
The budget is one of many, but I think it's the first kind of test for Mark Carney in the next little while. I'm very curious what the public reaction will be to the budget.
As your editor, can I give you some advice?
Tell me.
Don't get too comfortable. This is not like when Trudeau became prime minister, and there's a long runway ahead for him to figure out what he's doing and define it. Things could change really quickly.
Why do you think so? Like, an election could be called, or?
I think that the public discontent that led to a 25% conservative lead, that hasn't gone anywhere. I think the Carney's on borrowed time, and he's got to show some tangible results for people quickly. And all the economic indicators are that it's going to go the other way. Like, the Canadian public is very responsive to money stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he is not an inspirational enough leader to appeal to people's sense of self-sacrifice, which is what I think he should have been doing, mm-hmm. and preparing people for austerity, not just in the budget, but like we're going to be feeling it at home. And I think that if people start feeling like it's getting even worse economically, they're going to turn on Carney.
Mm-hmm.
And we may be heading back to the poll sooner than you think.
Interesting.
After the break, we'll talk about Canada's newest politics host on Global News. It's a celeb. You'll be disappointed. Unsurprising but sad news, more layoffs in journalism, nor global shedding journalism jobs.
Yep.
Now, the upside, the silver lining when it comes to how many great journalists are out of work is that if you are in a position to be hiring a journalist right now, say to host your politics show, there is a lot of talent out there. There are a lot of journalists who've been covering Ottawa for decades, yeah. who have sources, who have the confidence of people from every party. You can really find a great veteran journalist to host your politics show. Or, or you could do what Global did, which is that they just hired Ben Mulrooney.
Hello, Canada. I'm Ben Mulrooney, and welcome to Canadian Idol.
Welcome to E! Talk. I'm Ben Mulrooney.
Ben Mulrooney on the red carpet of the 76th Annual Academy Awards. I thought we were leaving, but no, we've got Renee Zellweger here.
Hello.
Congratulations yet again.
Oh, thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Ben Mulrooney Show. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us.
Listen, I'll put my partisan hat on for a moment, because like I said, I'm trying to be diplomatic, and I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm Ben Mulrooney. I am not cool. I've never been cool. I never will be cool. You know, no matter how many restaurants I go to, I am not a cool guy. Totally fine with it.
He is filling in for Mercedes Stevenson, who is on mat leave. And I get it. Ben Mulrooney is a famous Canadian. There's not a lot of famous Canadians.
Yeah, his name is quite recognizable.
He's a telegenic, affable, handsome man who has a great relationship with Global.
And he talks a lot. He has his own show now. And
he talks a lot.
He loves to talk.
The Ben Mulrooney Show is still, it's still a youngin'. You know, we're still getting our sea legs and learning how to do this. And we're testing things out and trying them out and seeing what kind of show we want to be. And already we've got a lot of listeners.
So why wouldn't you hire Ben Mulrooney to host your politics show? Well, here's a Ben Mulrooney quote. I'm not a journalist.
Wow.
We could just stop right now.
We could.
Shouldn't that be it?
Yeah.
No, there's more than that. You figure you would want a journalist. So this show, it's not a talk show. It's not like infotainment. It's not like there's talk shows that politicians come on. But the West Block is
news.
It's news.
Yeah.
It's news reporting. It's Global's flagship political news show.
Special protection for Canada's special forces. We have an exclusive, explosive look at testing new protection for high-risk soldiers. I'm Ben Mulrooney, in for Mercedes Stevenson. The West Block starts now.
Not a journalist. I would think that would be the first thing on the job description is seeking journalist.
And I would suspect we would classify Mercedes Stevenson as a journalist. So
I think Mercedes Stevenson's a very strong journalist.
So why wouldn't the person replacing her be one?
Well, let's say that you're going in a different direction in this time of everybody hates these journalists. Right, the public hates journalists. Why hire a journalist? People like talk show hosts more than journalists. I don't think it's fair to fault Ben Mulrooney for having the name Mulrooney, for the fact that his dad is a conservative, the fact that his family donates to conservatives. That should not be disqualifying. He doesn't control that. That doesn't mean that he can't be a fair host of a politics show.
Mm-hmm.
But. As journalist Stuart Benson pointed out on Twitter, after going through the Conservative Party of Canada's donor records, it's not just his family who donates.
And who might that be?
Ben Mulrooney made near maximum donations to the Conservative Party last December, says Stuart Benson.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Ben Mulrooney objects to this purity test. I'm curious, he asks Stuart Benson, how many other journalists slash interviewers carrying a lot of weight there? How many other journalists slash interviewers performed on your, quote, neutrality purity test? The one way that you know that Ben Mulrooney is not a journalist is that when he uses quotation marks, he's not actually quoting anyone. I hate this thing where people put things in quotation marks and they're not quoting anyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Stuart Benson's neutrality purity test is not actually what Stuart Benson ever called it. I assume this is a long-standing test that you have administered for years. Yeah, like finding out whether somebody has a conflict of interest is a really aberrant, weird thing. That is like basic journalism is, do you have a conflict of interest? Let's go find the receipts.
I was going to say, like, if I had donated to the Conservatives, would you have me in this position?
No.
Exactly. No. So it's the basics. It's the fundamentals of journalism.
But what you're not considering is that nothing matters anymore. I don't purport or pretend to be neutral, says Ben Mulroney. Oh, great.
Amazing.
Oh, okay. My bias is there for all to see. See, like, this is like all of the young journalists are like, objectivity is a myth. But then Ben Mulroney is like, great.
I'll take that. You're right.
I'll take that bias is okay and I'll run with it. Yeah. Now we can have the son of the Conservative Prime Minister as the host of the show where politicians from every party are coming to be interviewed to give people information. And hey, objectivity, neutrality, that's old school. That's lame. That's who cares anymore.
Why do we need journalists when we have talent? Have you listened to his show?
I've listened a little bit to his talk show. I know him more from his entertainment reporting. Entertainment reporting, you're supposed to be kind of like Ryan Seacrest. So could he be a smart, like, I actually have the reverse take. I give many what his political affiliations are.
Yeah.
That's what the job is about, is not trying to get one party in.
Yeah.
You know, is a disqualifying notion for the host of a politics show.
He has been dabbling more into politics, like, on his own show. At first, it was a bit of everything.
It's becoming much more conservative.
Yeah.
The woke left is literally, well, figuratively, eating their own. There's something about a particular type of person that will take natural allies and turn them into enemies. And that's what's happening in Ottawa.
Amar Khan, remember this guy? He had beef with the CBC, then he was with Global, and now he's apparently switched careers. He's working as a comedy manager now, but still commenting on the news. It's insane to have somebody like Ben Mulroney host this program. The news managers and radio folks would make apologies for him when he made shitty comments. Global News has lost all credibility in one fell swoop. Mercedes and David are tiers above Ben as journalists.
That I agree with. Again, like,
in that they are journalists.
Yeah. Like,
look, what does this tell us? I actually don't have any interest in dunking on Ben Mulroney as an individual. This is an entirely unserious decision by Global News.
Mm-hmm.
What it reveals to me is that they don't really care if they are perceived as journalists. And whatever they're doing journalism for is detached from widely held industry norms. So whether we look at this as like just a CRTC requirement that they're fulfilling, or I don't know what. like they
handsome man behind
news. Just like we need to have some face that's associated with our network.
Do you think it indicates to you in any way that maybe mainstream media is like shifting a little bit to the right and course correcting from being so on the left?
I do think that's part of it, because I think that as insignificant as the news departments of Canada's big broadcasters are in terms of revenue generation, they occupy a lot of space in the brand. Lisa Laflamme had a big thing to do with the CTV brand, even though that's like a tiny thing in the CTV economic universe. And that was a problem for them. That's part of the reason why, even though she was number one, she lost her job. And that public prominence of these kind of minor players is a liability issue, because people hate journalists right now. So what do you want? Like, if for whatever reason, CRTC regulations or whatever, you have to have a news department, something you kind of have to do, you don't want strong-willed people. You don't want people who are ever going to, like, embarrass you or go rogue and start flaming management. You don't want people who are going to be lightning rods for public hate. You want affable talking heads.
Mm-hmm.
Global is a Corus company. Corus is in very serious existential financial trouble right now. And my best read on this is that it's going to piss off journalists who nobody cares what we have to say anyhow, to put Ben Mulroney in that role. And then it's going to mean that they don't have to worry about it much. That's our show for today. Thank you for joining me. Email me. I'm at jesse@canadaland.com. I read them all. Noor, where can people find you?
You can find my booming voice every Tuesday on The Politics Show, and you can email me at noor@canadaland.com.
Are you booming? You're like mellifluous.
You think so? Do I have an abrasive voice?
No, not abrasive at all, but you boom a little. You're boomifluous.
Boomifluous. I like that word.
This episode is produced by James Nicholson. The associate producer is Lucy Lamonier, who also did the fact check. Mixing and mastering by Tom Sayers. Our director of audio is Max Collins. Our editor and publisher is me. Our theme music is by So Called. Syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.